Welcome to the Thirst World Problems Podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
Hello.
Hello.
Ooh.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Thirst World Problems. Yes, this is Bell.
Yeah, guy here.
Stu? Bill? Bell.
So I'm just gonna cut to the chase here. I'm on the clock. We're talking to Daniel.
Unframe of mind.
First time he's ever spoken into a microphone.
What is it? Unframe mindset?
Okay, this is Thirst
Unframe
World.
Unframe of mind. Sorry, unframe of mind. So start here. This is Thirst World Problems. Say that shit.
Thirst World Problems. Here we are. I'm here. This is Bell. I got Stu.
Hello.
And I got my man Guy.
Yo.
And we just finished talking to Daniel Wagner from the Unframe Your Mind.
Nope.
This is Thirst World
Problems. Unframe of mind. It's written somewhere.
Woo!
Can I do it?
No.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello. Okay.
Here we go. Another take.
Do it. No, just say.
Hello.
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 No, I didn't like that.
Yeah, you didn't like that. What's your name?
Hello.
Hello.
Come on, man.
What is your name?
Hello.
I'm the clock guy.
Hello.
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 This is Thirst World Problems, and I am Bell, and I'm joined here with Stu.
And Guy. I'm beating you to it because I want to get moving on this.
Why do you have to reintroduce?
I don't really have to.
Who are we just talking to?
This guy's
Bell, who are we just talking to?
We were just talking to Daniel.
Daniel Wagner? Is that who we're talking to?
We were just talking to my man D-Dub.
Okay.
Daniel Wagner from the Unframe of Mind podcast.
Yes.
The other Danny W.
You know what I'm talking about.
There you go. So what were we talking about?
You tell me.
We're talking about anarchy. And it was such an interesting conversation.
But it got us thinking about something.
Yeah, we wanted to discuss anarchy quickly amongst ourselves. Sans expert in Daniel Wagner. He broke down some really interesting ideas. And now I think we have some roundtable discussion kind of shit that we want to figure out as far as how anarchy would actually work.
Yeah, we just had a really good conversation with
a smart dude,
with Daniel.
Very smart dude. Very well spoken.
Very good conversation. Then we got into our cups. So now we're going to take another crack at the whole anarchy conversation here. So yeah, we're talking about how we figure it would play out. So we started off at the point of trying to examine where the world was prior to anarchy. So we take a look, and all the people in power right now are rich.
Yeah.
They own a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of them have their own like bodyguards.
Yes.
Or large corporations have their own security firms.
Firms.
Yeah.
Firms.
Yeah.
Yeah, the security firms.
Security firms.
They're growing their guns. They're growing their grenades. Mass crops.
Fresh grenades.
Woo. Extra explosive today. But we're saying they've got the possessions. They've got all the things.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, if anarchy happens tomorrow, or we take down the government, right? And you know,
whoa, none of this we take down. We're not talking about terrorism here. We're talking about collapse. We're talking about collapse.
Governmental collapse.
Yes.
And let's even keep it at arm's length. So let's say this happens in America.
All right.
Let's keep ourselves
in a country. And okay, so we're watching. See, we turn on CNN. CBC, NBC, ABC, whatever it is.
All the C's.
We turn it on and we find out that there's been a governmental collapse in arbitrary country right off the top of the dome, like you said, America.
America.
So America falls, not by any terrorist means or whatever. They run out of money.
This guy's making sure the FBI is I'm
a scared person. Then when they got the NSA and
don't worry, we're not on their radar.
His voice is going to be hidden anyway.
I'm just saying, all that stuff it's 2018, man. Stuff is scary nowadays.
That is the year.
I'm just saying. So the government collapse. Government collapse. Planning all this. Okay, relax. Government collapse. You're saying now,
Guy Fox,
the rich. Ooh, I thought you did that. The rich are in power, right? The rich were in power. So government collapsed on Tuesday. Rich were in power on Monday. Now, what does Wednesday look like? Day after the collapse of the government. I'm trying to say that money doesn't mean anything anymore. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's too quick. That's too quick. It might eventually lead to nowhere, but the day after, it's still going to be business as usual, okay, right?
But that's only if you truly believe that the government's going to get back online, making that dollar worth something.
Well, here's what's going to happen, though, is like all the people who've got a lot of cash, right? They're going to already be thinking on how to hedge their bets.
So they get kidnapped first day.
How are they going to get kidnapped? How can you list right now?
Yeah.
I give you all the resources that you can muster as who you are right now.
Yes.
Can you even get an arm's length away from LeBron James right now?
This is what I'm telling you. I'm not talking about LeBron James. I'm not talking about a publicly loved sports figure. I'm talking about those super rich one percenters that we only hear about in the dark recesses of the interwebs. Yeah. And now you're going, oh, you're one of the reasons why the country went to shit? Me and the rest of my city are mounting up and coming for you.
Coming after who?
We're going to go find the dude.
You don't think that guy knows? Who's
he paying with what? With what? Gold bricks? Unless he has gold bricks, that money that doesn't matter anymore?
But that's what I'm saying. It's not going to matter. It's not going to not matter instantly. People are still going to have that value.
Nah, man.
Right? Nah, man. Like, you hear the government collapse.
Okay, so you're Debo. Okay? Giant, you know, what did he play? Zeus in that wrestling movie with Hulk Hogan.
That's okay,
I'm just saying.
Right, he's now a 1%er.
I'm saying that's who. No. That's not the 1%er. He's not the 1%er. I'm saying that's who you are. I'm just saying.
He's not a 1%er.
No.
You heard Olympus? You got paid $1 billion.
I'm saying that's who you are, okay? You work for some super rich dude. Rich Hulk dude's Hogan. An asshole. Rich Hulk Hogan. Again. Rich dude is an asshole. Okay. Rich dude treats everybody like shit. Maybe he's really nice to you, but you know he's a shitty person. Government collapses. That money that he pays you every week is no longer really worth anything unless government goes online.
Okay, that he pays you every week?
Do you and the rest of the crew, do you just kidnap this guy and say like, oh.
You're saying mutiny from within.
I'm saying mutiny quick. When the rich people have no more power because money means nothing, all of a sudden you have anger and frustration and bitterness. I'm saying mutiny happens quickly.
You see, it's still going to mean something for a while. And if mutiny happens that quick, then all like the people that the rich people employed who's doing the mutiny.
Yeah.
Now they have all of his possessions or whatever
it is. I'm just saying, unless you're a nice rich person, when the government collapses and the dollars are not worth anything, unless you have been generous and you have been nice to your employees, you are so screwed.
Okay, but do you think that like a not nice rich person has like nice, noble people working for him in positions that
it's
are meant
basically
to secure
South
him?
Africa and Brazil over here. Like,
so now we're giving
people are getting kidnapped.
Basically,
what
would happen to
what end would you kidnap someone? So you have to like feed them and look
no,
after
they
them?
Have stuff. You just kidnap them and take their stuff.
Yeah, no.
Why you, kidnap?
I think
why
you're
kidnap?
Just too polite to say you're going to kill them.
I'm not killing anybody.
You
okay?
Hear that? FBI Guy Fox is going to kidnap the richest
first off,
there
I'm not,
are.
I'm making sure.
He's
I'm
wearing
trying
an anonymous
to be,
mask right now.
I'm trying to be very.
He's got a V for Vendetta tattoo.
Listen, I'm not talking. And this is all hypothetical. A and B. I'm not talking about doing it myself. I'm saying people are going to lose their shit, and I don't mean freak out. I mean they're physically going to have their stuff taken from them.
Again, I think this is different than what Daniel was talking about. You guys are talking about an anarchy that is imposed on the society. Like, oh yeah, something bad happened.
Okay, so
he's talking more about disassembling the government, having a plan to work towards no government.
But we were talking
as opposed to like you know, meteor strike.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
But we were talking about from a point of view.
Deep impact.
Yeah, deep impact. Terrible movie. A deep impact.
But
situation.
We were talking. We were
deep, DIS.
In the deep impact scenario. What we were talking about, like, I was, and I mentioned it to Daniel, and I think you guys had too, is that anarchy, for all intents and purposes, we were trying to figure out a way that it would actually happen. That in no situation, in no light, are all the people ever coming together and deciding that we want to do that. I'm saying it would have to be a deep impact scenario, a DIS, right, or something else in order for
can we check, is DIS
down
trending right now?
I met a girl last week.
DIS?
Got her to sign the sex contract.
Deep impact.
Situation.
Okay, this is, I'm talking about, I'm talking.
Well, we're much talking about you.
There's no way on earth that we're all going to get together and decide that we're just going to shut down the government.
So yeah, you're saying the more likely scenario, yes, for anarchy is, yes, is an emergency, yes, situation where society collapses.
Yes. And then all of a sudden it's a Lord of the Flies thing. And Piggy's going to go quick.
And the conch.
Yeah, who's, but then the, like, conch? My whole thing is like, the person with all the possessions in, yeah, the security farm,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, the people that he surrounds himself with, he's basically, like we said, South Africa, but, like, you know, he's the dictator.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen is all his child soldiers are going to uprise and steal all this shit, right? Like, that's what you said. Like,
did you say that this was happening in America, this potential?
Yeah, well, I'm saying that's
and all the basically child, all the child soldiers in America are going to rise up?
No, I'm using them as an example
the child security soldiers, just so for the record, the child soldiers in America. All, yeah, all the child soldiers
you've
in
been
America.
In Chicago?
Wow. Okay.
All right. Getting hot in here.
Yeah, that's, I don't know what this,
you've been Chirac'd, man.
I'm staying.
This is not making a pod,
eat,
man.
I'm going to eat a Dorito off
microphone. Oh, one percenter right here, man. This guy's a one percenter.
They're not even good Doritos. The 1% meat barbecue
dipping,
Dorito.
Dipping Doritos in honey dill.
It's not even, this needs to be some type of nacho-ish.
I don't fuck with nachos.
Barbecue Doritos? You're the first one to go in a DIS situation.
Yeah, because I don't own shit. Well, that's what I'm trying to tell
you. You own bad chips, so you're safe.
What I'm trying to tell you is that the people that actually own shit,
yeah,
are going to be fine, because all you people have no shit can't do shit to someone who's got a bunch of shit.
Like,
all the people, say that one more time.
All the people that have no shit,
yeah,
can't do anything to the people with shit.
Yeah, but as long as you have enough people with no shit, enough people with no shit, enough angry people actually motivated who, oh, yo, what is the quickest way to unite two people? Give them a common enemy. All of a sudden, my enemy is gettable? But that's asshole.
The enemy's not gettable, is,
yes,
my point.
Yes, when
to
the
you
government goes down and we have no money, yo, dude's gettable.
You think the only reason that people aren't killing their bosses is
because,
well, of the
government?
Not
their bosses. Not their bosses. Because it's bosses, for the most part, are just employees like you. Unless the person is really high up. And if your boss, pays you a good salary and treats you, gives you some health benefits, you don't have any contempt or beef towards your boss. I'm not talking about that person. I'm talking about the people who were up. Like, okay, the pharmacy dude, the one that was threatening Ghostface, what was his name?
I can't remember, but I know who you're talking
that
about.
That guy's got. He's sitting there, and all his dudes like, oh, you can't get me. Yo, money goes to nothing? You think those guys are getting him himself?
But don't you think that those guys are going to want the supplies and stuff that he has?
They're just
going to
take
to
him. Piggy gets got.
Okay, so he got got.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now they're in power. The ones who are willing to get that guy, you think they're going to share that shit with you?
I'm not even saying that. I'm not
so
talking
now
about.
So they're the 1%.
No, no,
all
no.
I'm saying is there's a shit.
My whole point
the
is.
The people have access to the 1%.
My whole point is that it's going to, the whole thing changes. That's
why?
That's the whole point.
That's because you think that the people that were willing to get that guy are going to be like, yo, we got the one guy that we wanted to get.
Oh, I'm not talking about sharing.
Now we're not going to use those resources to control the masses.
I'm not talking about sharing. I'm saying it's going to be the wild, wild west and everything is going to go to hell real quick until there's a new stabilizing point, which is
giant
enough of hard people
spiders
are dead.
Straight.
And apparently that was supposed to be a Superman movie. Google that. It was supposed to star Nick Cage at one point.
Well, Nick Cage was supposed to play Superman.
Yeah, but that, like, the Wild West was supposed to be a Superman movie. It was a Superman movie set. I kid you not. I was reading this on Google, which we do fake not news. Trust. Fake news.
Fake news.
Fake news. Anyways, Google that. There were some weird things, the articles I was reading about that. Yo, I'm saying people get God. I'm not saying that the balancing now is that the poor are in power. I'm saying that it turns into more of a survival of the fittest thing. You can't be a rich, old, fat dude and survive.
Being a rich, old, fat dude would be better than being a rich, old, poor dude.
But my whole point is that the rich, old, poor dude might very well outlast the rich, old, fat dude if the dollar collapses to nothing. The poor, old, fat dude, he may be liked. The rich, old, fat dude?
P-O-F-D. P-O-R-D.
The rich old fat dude. Like, think about that guy.
Why do you just assume that people who are rich aren't liked?
No. I'm talking about that dude that's going out with these girls 30 years his senior.
Oh, you're player hating.
I'm not player hating. No.
I didn't even know this guy. Did you know that about him? He's got a PhD.
Yeah.
I'm not player hating. Listen, think about this. We're not. Yo, you guys are acting stupid on this. You're not even actually thinking about it.
You're not actually thinking about
it. I am thinking about it. Do you not see the microphone in front of my face?
Like, what do you think is going to happen to their possessions? So, like, I know. Here's the thing. You're like, oh, well, that guy hates them. Like, now the rich fat guy, let's get rid of him. Let's murder him. Isn't that rich fat guy going to be like, yo, we're going to hop in the helicopter.
With who? Who's flying him?
What makes you think that? You think that anyone who's rich is useless?
No. I'm not saying rich, useless people. I'm saying if you're a good person, then when you're like, yo, pilot, they're coming for me. Pilot's like, yo, you've taken care of me and my family. You're a good dude. Get in the plane. I got you. Or if it's like, yo, pilot, let's go. Yo, you treat me like shit all the time. You don't even know how to fly this thing. I have the keys. Why am I waiting for you?
Because you get to come to my secure compound.
I know where the secure compound. I know where it is. I fly there without you.
You don't got the codes?
The
retina scan?
Then the security guy, your head of security, comes and puts a gun to his head and says, give us the codes and we don't kill you, old rich fat man.
So why does everyone lose their humanity the second there's
my
no money?
My whole point is that if you're a dick to people, and the whole thing is you lose the ability to be a dick for dick's sake when the dollar goes to nothing. When we go into a state of anarchy, if you're just a dick because you can be, you become expendable so quickly.
I really think that you do have some kind of bias towards that, like, that's
it's not just
rich.
It's not even that. But well, you look at
some
the state
rich,
of the world.
Old, fat
though.
Dude stole one of this guy's girlfriends.
Look at the state of the world. Look at the state of the world, though. Seriously, look at the state.
Your honey, like you stole your bike.
Guys, look at the state of the world. Think about it. And I mean, like, everybody's looking for someone to blame. How do you not blame the asshole that's literally fucking up the economy of the entire world for the rest of us? How do you not blame that guy who wants to tear down a whole section of the city and leave a bunch of people homeless so he can build another big shit that nobody needs? You know? Oh, how are you going to... This guy goes out and the few interactions that some of these people have, they're dicks to other people in public. Like, these are known assholes. What do you do when you don't need them? Here's the thing. You know, you hear stuff about, like, Michael Jordan's a dick. Well, you know what? Michael Jordan is a great basketball player and he's loved by millions. If the world goes to shit tomorrow and Michael Jordan is in need of a shelter running from somewhere, I'm gonna let, yeah, you're a dick. You can come chill with me because you're Michael Jordan. But if you're just some rich piece of shit dude that's not nice to anybody, what do you have now? Oh, I'll give you $1 million. A useless $1 million? You have nothing anymore.
I also think you're undervaluing how quickly money's going to go to having zero value. But I can see your
also
point.
What are you thinking the military does? They just completely disband. They all just run in separate directions.
No, they go and get as many guns as they can and
they
try and figure
them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They try and pull up all the guns and figure out who's siding with
power.
Who. They try and figure out who's siding with who. But then look what you did. Anarchy. In every scenario that we're talking about, anarchy just devolves into the most powerful taking control and starting a whole new government.
But yeah, again, it would have to be there would be some balance that would eventually be found,
which would be another government.
Well, not necessarily a government, but some power structure for sure.
Some hierarchy of some type, right?
Yeah.
It's a novel idea, but I mean, like, communism looks really good on paper too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got switching veins here, shifting gears. I got a question for you. Because I obviously you hate the super rich.
No, I do not hate the super rich.
Okay, I don't need a rebuttal.
Warren Buffett does a lot of great stuff with his money.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh.
Warren Buffett, Michael Jordan, safe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I like one or two of them. So
Bill Gates.
I got a rich friend, man.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying. There's some good people doing some good things.
If you could spend the day with anyone,
yeah,
who would you take here?
What do you mean? Like, what am I doing? Like,
whatever you want, man.
I don't know.
Carte blanche, like.
I don't really.
Old Bard.
I don't know. I don't think there's anybody that I would really care to spend the entire day with.
For the record, let it show that he did not say his mother or his father.
No, you're saying.
Still sad about that spanking.
I'm cool with my parents. I see them all the time. I see my brothers all the time. I see my friends all the time.
Okay.
So. I'm talking about like some celebrity. Who would you want to spend an entire day with? I'm not a 13-year-old girl. I don't care to spend my day with anybody I don't know.
Okay, so rich, fat, old guys and 13-year-old girls. Guy Fawkes is coming for you.
How did I? Yo, when did I?
I'm not some 13-year-old girl.
That's why, why did it become like a, what is this threat, this open threat to old people and
that's just the way it came across, bro.
It's not how it came across.
Do you want to know who I'd spend the day with?
I would.
Morgan Freeman's character from Deep Impact.
Uh-oh.
Was he in Deep Impact or
that's
the other
a DIS
one?
Situation right there.
You're talking.
See, that's a cool way to answer it. A fictional character. That's...
So you can add, you can hang out with fictional characters.
He was creative. Obviously. You could be creative. Did I ever say you could be creative?
If I can hang out with fictional characters, that's a different.
I said, who would you want to hang out with? You put yourself in your own little box that prevented you from being creative.
I would want to hang out with, if I could pick anything.
And I just said you could, so pick.
This is what I'm doing, man. I'm trying to figure out. I'm probably going to give myself superpowers somehow. I'm trying to figure out how I go about doing that.
Also, like the ooze from Ninja Turtles.
No, like get the lab accident made the Flash real fast or something like that. Or
you want to go through an explosion? Not even
maybe a bomb. Like,
You're picking an explosion over your parents. You want to hang out with an explosion over your parents.
After said explosion, I have superpowers, and then I can hang out with my parents while I have superpowers. Do you not see how that makes things better?
You should have hung out with your parents at the explosion.
They all supervised?
Yeah, but you're greedy.
See,
yeah.
I could do one thing. I would just take my parents to this explosion.
Right? It'd kind of be dope. You know? Or a spider. We could all get bit by some spiders.
Okay. I was thinking about it a little bit, like from the celebrity side.
Oh,
and
wait.
I was struggling with
change
it.
Change my mind.
Okay.
Now that I'm thinking about it again, see? You know what? Rather than be mad at the ultra rich... Okay, I hang out in the dorm room with Zuckerberg
prior to.
Oh, and I make sure that I like drop the info. So I'm just in it already.
Look, I said you can hang out with fictional characters. I never said anything about time travel.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Well, then I hang out with somebody who invents time travel, and we go back there and set it up.
Michael J. Fox.
But no, Doc. You don't need Michael J. Fox. You just need Doc.
Was he playing himself in that movie?
Well, no, like, Doc was playing Michael J. Fox.
Like, that would be a mind twist, right? Michael J. Fox as himself, and he goes back in time.
Remember Michael Jai?
Michael Jai White?
Michael Jai Fox. Wasn't that something?
Spawn? Guy played Spawn?
Yeah.
I was thinking celebrity-wise, and I struggled coming up with something. Like, this was like one of those card games the other day. And I ended with... probably Chappelle.
You know what? Dave Chappelle would have no time to... He wouldn't have any time to spend with you.
Well, no. But, like, I mean, like, no one actually would. But, like, if they made a day of it. And I was thinking, like, yeah, like, he's probably funny in his day-to-day life. But not even that. But, like, he seems to have fun with his celebrity. Like, you always hear about him being at, like, different concerts and stuff. Like, going on stage and, like, playing guitar with, like, at a John Mayer concert. Like,
did he play guitar at a John Mayer concert?
Yeah, just does weird shit like
did
that.
Did he play guitar at a John Mayer concert?
He was singing, I think.
Fact
but
check.
He didn't play. Yeah, right. He didn't play.
No, he's not going to play. He was on. He played air guitar.
He was willingly going to hit us with that fake news.
Yeah.
He played air guitar.
But here's the thing. I like Guy was, he was talking about time travel and like getting superpowers from explosions, but he could not fathom that Dave Chappelle would make time for you in his schedule.
Yo, I'm just looking for the most realistic.
He's too busy, man.
I'm looking for the most realistic scenario.
Or Bill Murray seems to be like that, too.
Bill Murray would be a fun dude to hang out with.
Just someone, like, you hear about all these celebrities all the time, but, like, you don't really see them having...
Oh, my gosh. You said Bill Murray. You said Bill Murray, and I was just thinking how maybe if you had asked me that question...
You'd say Groundhog Day.
5 years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, you'd ask me that question. And I probably would have answered, like, you know, Bill Cosby or some shit like that. 5-6 years ago. That's messed up. Because you didn't know about all this stuff. Was it 5-6 years ago? Maybe. I'm just saying, you know, who wouldn't have wanted to hang out with Bill Cosby back in the day? And now you find out what he was doing all that time, and it's kind of scary.
There might be more people now that would want to hang out with.
That's terrible. He just went to a dark place that didn't need to be. Arsenio Hall. Maybe I'd hang out with Arsenio Hall.
Now you went to a dark place.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting.
Don't do that.
Why? Why? I'm going to get... Why?
I feel like it'd be interesting, dude.
You think it'd be interesting? Why do you think it'd be interesting? What would this interesting?
He brought his show back for a minute. It didn't last long, but I thought that was interesting.
So that means it wasn't interesting.
It was interesting enough. It was interesting enough, dude. I don't want to hang out with comedians. I'm back to the explosions. That's what I got to do. That's what everybody needs to do. We all need some superpowers for when that dollar collapses and deep impact scenario is realized. You know who's going to be on top? My family with the superpowers.
That's true. Like, if you had superpowers, you don't care about any kind of government.
None. Right? Yo, you know who's the government? I'm the government.
What celebrity would you least want to hang out with for the entire day? Oh, gosh. They have to come to your house and hang out with you.
Damn. There's a lot of celebrities I wouldn't want to hang out with.
I know,
but I feel like, you know, celebrities that I would want to hang out with is a easier question.
That's why we ask the hard questions around.
Yeah, no.
There's got to be someone that just grinds your
gears. Oh, no, I'm saying there's a lot of people that I feel, but that's not even fair because I don't know these people. It's just like the presentation.
The perception.
Yeah, the perception.
Yeah.
I don't know. Perception-wise, I'm not a big fan of, like, Miley Cyrus. I find very distasteful. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to hang out with her. What would we do? You know, I feel like even if she was trying to be really nice and like ask me what I was doing, you know, I'd be like annoyed, like, because it's like Miley Cyrus, I just don't have any time for you. Which is kind of a diss because I have no idea what this girl is even like. She might be lovely.
She might trash your house, though.
No, she can't trash my house.
She'd come through there.
You couldn't let it get to that. Miley Cyrus could stay.
What about you, Gay?
So one celebrity that I would not want to hang out with?
Yeah. The most.
The most.
Yeah.
Probably like that tiger that killed Siegfried and Roy or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, like if he would do that to his friends.
That's not a celebrity, though. It's like
in the jungle, that guy is infamous, man.
Infamous.
Famous tiger, man.
Infamous.
In the jungle, that guy.
Infamous.
Hey, did you see that fight between a bear and a tiger?
I only saw like the first 2 seconds of it. That happened in India, right? Like the national park there.
That's
in India.
A real thing?
That's a rare thing. Bear versus
it was a
tiger.
Sloth. It was like Baloo versus Shere Khan. But like way more brutal.
Was that what that was? Was that the Disney film in the sequel?
Yeah, that was Jungle Book 2, man. It's gritty, man. It's a gritty reboot.
The dark.
Who won?
Like
who won?
The Dark Knight.
Well, that's the crazy thing. Like, the tiger was winning for the most part, but...
Don't tell me the bear beat the tiger.
I thought you were going to say spoiler alert, but no, the bear just hung in there and eventually chased the tiger off.
Bear beat a tiger?
Yeah, a sloth bear, not even like a big cool bear. So a grizzly bear would kill a tiger.
No.
Well, based on that fight, it would for sure.
Like, a grizzly bear? Smother.
Aren't polar bears bigger?
Polar bears would win
because like the tiger would fucking freeze to death.
But you're assuming. See, look what you did there. Yeah. You already assumed that we were fighting in the cold. What if we were fighting in the heat?
Well, and what if it was one of those
fighting in the heat? The polar bear would probably. I think the polar bear would be less affected by the heat than the tiger would be from the cold.
No, polar bear wouldn't like the heat. I don't think.
Wouldn't like the heat, but it. Can a polar bear survive in?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Polar bears are scary.
Yeah.
Polar bear versus tiger. It's just not polar
bears.
Just...
No, yeah, it's just a bear versus tiger.
Not
I'm thinking about polar bears. I'd hang out with a polar bear.
Kill you, though. I'm switching my answer, though, to the stingray that killed Steve Irwin. I don't want to hang out with that.
Why are you getting so morbid with
the
infamous animals?
Why would I start a beef with Miley Cyrus when I could go after a famous thing that killed
didn't
something?
Didn't start beef with her.
That's kind of true.
You asked me who I wouldn't want to hang out with. I said
and just
I wouldn't
like arbitrarily, you picked her.
There's more to the story.
Like, I don't like these animals because they killed like famous people.
So you want to hang out with things that kill?
Doesn't want to. Man, this guy, he's going after rich old dudes, 13-year-old girls, and Miley Cyrus.
You put an age on that. First, Jeff, you're telling me that I'm angry at little girls, and now you're putting an age on them. You're making it very specific. Like, you're trying to tarnish me.
You said, what am I, a 13-year-old girl?
That's what I'm saying. I'm
exactly.
Not.
Degrading.
How did they grade
them? Opinions and their ability to choose things.
Like, this video is cool because at first there's two sloth bears. The other one just takes off. He doesn't even help his buddy.
The other one's like, you got this.
You got this.
I
got
to get back to the pregame.
The tiger's starting the problem.
You've got to do a live play-by-play if you're going to.
Well, I'm just watching. You guys can keep talking. I'm just saying, like, it looks like the tiger is going up into the woods after the sloth bear. And the bear, these bears aren't even tough.
No, they're small. Like
they're tiny, and that tiger is whooping him, but he's not even strong. Look, he's going, though.
No,
this bear is... can't even, like, roar. He's, like, he's like screaming at him. Oh, he's up on the tiger. This is a mean tiger.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is the guy I wouldn't want to hang out with.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd want to or wouldn't want to?
Nah.
Why?
Just seems like he's all spaced out all the time, man.
This bear, interestingly enough, is not actually doing any moves. It just keeps bouncing up and trying to act big.
Yeah.
Oh, he wore him down. Oh, no. The tiger. I was wrong. The tiger's kicking his ass.
Got him, yeah.
Is he dead?
The sloth bear's thing is just staying in there.
Look at him. He has him in a vice, like bit right on the jugular. It looks like he's trying to kill him. This is the death grip.
The bear is just kind of disinterested, right?
The bear, look, it's still fighting.
He's doing the rope-a-dope, man.
He's like, yeah, tuckering what are you going to do? Like, you know, it's like you got a little toddler wailing on you. And you're like, yeah, I'm a grown
little
up.
Toddler. This thing's way bigger than the bear.
Yeah, man. That's Jungle true. Book 2 is lit, man.
It's going to be vicious.
You know what? This is like that if you've ever, and you know, I don't know, I can't speak for you. You go out to a bar or something, two guys get in a fight, and that one dude just pummels the other guy. And then after it's all said and done, the other guy's fine, like nothing happened. The guy was throwing pillows. This tiger is throwing pillows because he had this bear's neck in his jaw.
Won't stop,
yeah, for minutes straight, choking him out, and this bear just keeps getting up like nothing.
One thing that's also crazy about this video is like, you don't see animals just straight up exhausted very often. Like, it seems like they have unending resources of energy.
It's called at fighting for this, your life.
At the end of this, this tiger is just spent. Like, he's
just gassed.
Like, look at him there. He's just breathing so heavy.
This bear is tough. I have actually, this is an inspirational video.
That guy looks like he's fighting a teddy bear. Like,
it looks like a
tiny.
Yeah.
That tiger's probably huge, too.
You know what? Actually, now that you mention that, my opinion of this tiger has completely changed. I think that this tiger is a weak tiger.
Might be.
And this tiger is probably figuring, hey, you know what? I'm going to go attack a sloth bear.
Like he pushes
a tiny one. I'm going to go fight this tiny little bear.
Attack him.
Because he's whack.
Does he bother?
See? Look at him. He's scared of him.
I like how
now.
They do the replay of him getting pushed into the water.
No, this is another time he's getting chased away.
Because he's whack. This tiger's whack. You went and tried to beat up the smallest bear you found, and now you realize you're weak. Okay, you want to make the list longer. This tiger's on the list now, too.
Like, that bear just had its jugular in a tiger's throat for, like, 25 minutes.
Yeah, this tiger is
so strong.
Whack.
Tiger couldn't penetrate, man. Doesn't floss. Couldn't get through. Couldn't get through the fur.
And it's still this bear just chasing him everywhere now. Okay.
That's because the tiger just didn't get out of there, man.
The tiger's whack. Moral of the story.
Tigers are whack.
No, this tiger's whack.
Yeah, the one that got Siegfried or Roy or whatever.
No, that one would have ate that bear whole. Ate him whole. Now, I want you to weigh on this. Once again, it's going to require your creativity.
Yo, use your creativity, son. Your creativity.
They got artistic with stuff around
is
here.
Is that French?
Creativity.
Okay. We're talking about this.
Yeah.
2 weeks. Maybe it was last week. Last episode or the episode before. I can't remember. Stu probably has a better idea than I do.
Yeah.
It came down to having to kill a man with a spatula. So it's just household items around the house used as weapons.
Yeah.
Someone breaks in. You can't grab a knife. You can't grab a bat. You can't grab like tools. Like, I'm going to get a screwdriver, nail gun, anything like that. It's got to be common household item that you would use to defend
yourself. I need
yourself.
More of a scenario than that.
Okay.
Am I trained?
You're as trained as you are.
Okay. So this is me. This isn't like an alternate situation where I'm like,
is anyone trained in killing someone with a spatula?
I feel like if you're like a James Bond type, what I mean, like a James Bond type dude could probably match somebody nicely with a spatula.
Or like Under Siege, like Steven Seagal was like the chef on the.
Steven Seagal can kill anybody with anything at any time.
Glitter Man, credit card. Slice that guy's throat right open. Yeah.
I feel like a Steven Seagal situation, if you came at me and I had a spatula with a knife, let's say you came in with a knife, I would like position it so the knife blade went in through one of the slots on the spatula, then I just flicked the wrist, and then I removed the knife.
You're thinking of a flipper or something.
No, it's a spatula.
Oh, he's thinking of a slotted spatula.
I was thinking of a sloth bear still.
think about how cool that, like, just imagine Steven Seagal with a slotted spatula defending somebody coming at him with a knife.
Well, see, you already have an idea.
That's
so
a
now
nice
maybe,
move.
So maybe now you're leading towards
boom,
that slotted
just like
spatula.
That. Boom. Slotted. But boom.
You come with that knife. You make that noise.
Boom. You're done.
Spatula's off the table, though.
Okay.
So you've got to go with something else.
Yeah.
What do you go with?
Meat tenderizer.
That's exactly what I was
going
to say.
Meat tenderizer.
The bigger side, too.
Yeah.
Like the big,
with the spikes on it. Like the...
It's like
done.
A straight-up hammer.
Either that...
Do you own a meat tenderizer?
I mean, you know what? I'm probably going to go buy a meat tenderizer tomorrow just in case.
I have two. I'll sell you one.
Why not have two?
Right?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And you can spin them. Or you tie if they have the ropes on them.
Oh,
like
nunchucks.
Nunchaku. That's how they pronounce it. Nunchaku.
Nunchaku.
Both agreed on meat tenderizer,
yeah.
We got to throw that one out the window.
Okay.
So now we're going to kick the stew.
You can't use knives, though?
No.
You know what would be cool? Like a whisk. And I would snap all the wires off so they're like long and I'd... pointy, and I'd just bend them, and I'd just...
This guy...
I'd have some reach with that. I would have some reach with that.
That's not
some
bad.
Prison ingenuity right there, man.
That's a good one.
A whisk. Oh, dang. I was thinking just like straight up wooden spoon, because I remember...
You know what?
That would snap too.
I got you.
Well, yeah. I used to hurt the hell out of me. I used to be scared of the spoon.
Frying pan.
Like maybe you would like...
Frying pan's cool.
Yeah.
Frying pan...
It's classic.
Done.
Yeah.
I know in cartoons.
Like a cast iron.
That's what I'm saying. Cartoons, they make it boom. The guy gets. You hit somebody in the head with a frying pan, a cast iron frying pan in real life.
Cast iron is.
I'm thinking like you sneak up and you garrot them with a cheese slicer, the wire cheese slicer.
What is that garrotting?
When they around the person's neck, when they. For those people who just heard the sound.
Audio medium.
Yeah, this is...
Sorry,
this is,
I just... You take the... You see the guys with, like, the piano wire or whatever?
Like charades.
You ever watch that, like, on a spy movie or whatever? That person is wrapping the piano wire around their wrist, and they sneak up behind the person and, like, wrap it around their throat and, like, try and crush their windpipe or whatever? Like,
okay.
Yeah, it's the garrote.
Yeah. So you do that with, like, the wire cheese cutter.
Or just a cheese grater across the face.
Oh, that would be nasty.
Oh,
right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. That pin them down and just grate
them.
Oh, jeez.
That's not very. It's for like brutality points. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty crazy, but very inefficient. I'm sure it's defensive.
But then you get up and you look at them and you say, "You look great."
Okay.
Like it's got some good.
It's great for puns.
Yeah, it's great for puns.
Okay, who are we defending ourselves against? And wait, are we defending ourselves or are we trying to kill somebody?
Oh, no, you broke into someone's house.
Oh, no.
old rich guy.
He broke into like a kitchen utensil store, and the security guard caught you.
Yo, that's no. I don't. See.
He's an old guy.
No,
he's rich too.
I don't.
He just had one more day to retire.
I don't feel good about any of those things.
But you were the one talking about all kinds of brutal things, man.
I'm not talking about. I don't want to kill somebody. I don't want to kill. Not that I want to kill anybody.
I think he got. I think that was your.
You cannot. You say that. Yo, if you, like, you can't break into somebody's house and hurt them. That's terrible. That's a terrible thing.
In what scenario do you feel justified in breaking into someone else's house?
I don't feel justified in breaking into anybody's house for any reason.
You can't envision a scenario in under no circumstances.
What if somebody, like, their house is on fire and you're busting down their door to save them? But you also see like a cool maybe there's like a wad of $50 bills on the thing and you grab them, you save them, but you take those 50s.
No, you don't.
You take those 50s. No. Payment.
That's not a real thing.
You risked your life.
It's not a real thing. My life is worth $50.
A wad of them. A wad of 50s.
So even in that scenario. I'm to break into somebody's house with the expressed intent of saving their lives.
Yeah.
And then I just happen to hold on to this wad of 50. Clearly the man's a drug dealer.
Well, and their house is going to burn down. Like,
clearly the man's a drug dealer. You don't want to, why would you rob a drug dealer?
You're not robbing them. You're saving them. That money was also going to burn. You're saving the money, but you're keeping the money.
No. So you,
because you know, as a drug dealer, you don't want to give him back the money.
So you save a drug dealer's life just so he can come back and kill you at a later date?
Come back and kill you?
You risk your life to save a drug dealer who will eventually kill you?
He would have just assumed that the money burned in the fire.
No, because anytime you watch...
Wait, hold on, homie. Why is the drug dealer automatically male? It's 2018,
sorry,
man.
She kills me later.
Why are you assuming a gender?
I just told you. I just corrected myself. She kills me later then.
And what happens if they don't identify as male or female?
Well, I don't know what the term is. Kills me later.
How about a person?
Blank kills me later. Person kills me later.
Why are they killing you? You saved their life.
Because they owe you a about respect for these drug dealers, and they feel disrespected, and they're going
to
kill me.
You don't think that, first of all, you think it would be a stretch to assume that after saving someone's life that they would want to reward you? And especially if like you say, a drug person is rolling fat.
A drug person with his hands up in the air looking right? I'm politically correct.
I think it's a narcotic person.
Yeah.
Is he a narco?
Right. So one of these narcos.
They kill you.
Okay.
You don't even finish that sentence.
You save their life. They're rolling fat. Don't you assume that they would want to reward you just like Nino Brown throwing out turkeys at Thanksgiving?
No, he didn't kill you. Narcos kill everybody.
I think that you have a bad perception of rich narcos? People.
I have a bad perception of narcos.
Let me finish. Of rich people.
Not rich people. Fat rich old people.
Fat rich old people.
No. Not
Miley
fat,
Cyrus.
No.
13-year-old girls.
No.
Tigers.
Tigers. Okay, but when you say fat, you say tigers.
Tigers.
What do you say?
Tigers.
You say, you watch him. You're going to rewind this tape back, and anybody who listens to this, if this ever makes it onto air at any point, you listen to this. I guarantee you the man says tigers three times.
I might listen to this just to hear that.
Tigers.
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 Thanks.
Hate speech.
Listen, hate speech.
Hashtag
what
hate
is
speech.
This for?
Here's an exclusive interview on Thirst World Problems.
Thirst World Problems. We've got Daniel here. We've got Stu in studio.
Hello.
We've got my man Guy over here.
Hello.
And this is Bell. So I met the name I mentioned at the start, Daniel. He's got a podcast called Frame of Mind. And
why don't you go ahead and let Daniel give a proper
that might work.
Yeah.
So Daniel, just tell us, who are you?
Oh, how rude. You're going to make me introduce myself on your show. I'm just kidding. My name is Daniel Wagner. I'm actually from the Unframe of Mind show, where we have uncomfortable conversations without a condom. And I am actually really glad to be here and hanging out with you guys in studio today.
Perfect.
Right on. Now, the next question is going to be another deep one. Why is it that you What is it that you do? Why do you do it?
Well, I'll tell you what. There has been a huge history of me trying to figure out what in the hell I want to do with my life.
Nice.
And it all started back in the day. No, I'm not going to go into all that detail. But anyway, basically ever since middle school, at least, I've always been into having these deep philosophical conversations with people where we talk about race, religion, politics, and just the stuff that most people really, you know, at least at that time in my history, didn't really much care about. And it's just something that's continued over and over and over again. And it's a reoccurring theme in my life. Well, I got to talking with a friend at work who it turns out he also actually enjoys these conversations. And now that, you know, at the time I was about 32, I finally decided to start my own show talking about this stuff, because this is all stuff that you're not supposed to talk about at work, around the Thanksgiving table, or, you know, just with society in general, because it's really touchy subjects. And that's pretty much how I ended up coming to this and choosing this as a direction that I wanted to go with my life. So I hope that answers your question.
Daniel, have you found since you started having this show that do you feel more relaxed as a person getting all these stressful, uncomfortable conversations off your chest on a weekly basis?
Oh my God. Let me tell you what, it's, I think the coolest thing about it is the fact that I can connect with people like you guys and other people who are interested in having these types of conversations. Whereas, you know, in your small circle, in your local area, you might be a little more hard pressed to find somebody willing or able to, I hate to put it this way, but able to keep up. You know what I'm saying?
You didn't hate saying that one bit.
Not really. I'm just trying to be polite.
There you go.
So you were talking about some touchy subjects that you like to discuss. Whoa. Here. Oh, just right into it. So what's one that you kind of keep in your back pocket or that you've really enjoyed having so far?
No. Ask what you actually want to ask. What is the touchiest subject that you've had to deal with?
Touchiest.
And the where touchiest. Did it touch you?
Oh my God, you're going all the way deep. You're going to make me look like a conspiracy theorist right before we even get started. Let's see, which one do we want to go into? See, because I am so far outside the box on most topics. You guys ever heard of the Overton window?
No, but I'm pretty sure we're about to.
Okay, so the Overton window basically describes the... just imagine a little box, and within that box is the topics and the things that people are allowed to talk about within society. Those are the things that we're comfortable discussing without anybody getting too pissed off or angry or uncomfortable. Maybe you can talk a little bit outside the box, you know, stuff that you can kind of reach from outside the box, you know. But if you get way far outside the box, now you're outside what's called the Overton window, and you start to lose people. They don't get it. They're like, it doesn't make any sense to them because it's not within the periphery of what they're used to talking about and discussing. So what I have found is it's interesting because I've gone so far outside that box ideologically, but I feel most logically consistent. And trying to pull people along has proven to be quite the challenge to try to figure out what I can discuss that's within that Overton window and still be able to maintain my ideas. So a couple of those ideas would be like my atheism, my anarchism, the fact that I feel like we don't need a government whatsoever. Like, it's just been a gradual process that's, you know, slowly whittled away my desire to have any kind of government control over us. That's one of the big ones. And it's when I first mentioned it, they're like, anarchy, isn't that chaos? So like, okay, I see where we're starting here.
There you go. What Stu was saying was he was wondering if your Thanksgiving dinners are awkward because of the Overton window, like having so many things that you would like to talk about that you can't talk about.
It depends on which family I'm having the dinner with. my wife's family, not so much. They're not too interested in talking about these topics, period, let alone the level of detail that I'm wanting to go into. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of talk about surface level stuff, which is fine. You know, the kids are hanging out, they're having fun, you know, it's no big deal. I'll sit down and pretend to like football for a couple of minutes. No, that didn't bother me to say that either.
Yeah, no, hey, you're of the three of us that are talking to you right now, this I'm probably this is Guy again, probably the safest person to say you do not like football too. I am 100% with you.
So with my family, my parents and them, we tend to get in these topics a lot. We've actually talked about this stuff quite a bit coming up, and that's kind of part of where I got interested in it. So I thoroughly enjoy, you know, going to visit them and getting into these topics. I mean, I work a daytime job, so I'm usually in bed by like 10 at the very latest. But when I go visit my parents, after I've done work all day, I'll drive out to my parents on a Friday, and it won't be until probably about 6 o'clock in the morning before we finally go to bed. The sun is coming up because we've been talking the whole time.
Wow. And was it always that way for you? Like growing up at home, did you guys always have those types of conversations, or is this something that's come across as you've gotten older?
No, absolutely. We've had them ever, as long as I can remember. And I think that's part of why I've been able to be so open-minded and able to look at different things. Cause you know, I know a lot of people grow up in say like Christian households and religious households of whatever sort. And they're kind of forced into this particular box that they have to, you know, bounce all their ideas off of, and they're expected to behave a certain way. Well, my mom was Christian. My dad was Catholic. Neither one of them really were particularly active in the church or anything like that. But they also at the same time did not force or make us children follow anything that they particularly believed. We'd talk about it and discuss it, but they left us up to decide what we believed, which was, I think, in my opinion, is the very best way you can raise your kids.
I agree with your ideas on how to raise kids in terms of what they believe. Let them explore. Let them kind of find their own way. But I was also saying, like, I'm agnostic, or you know, I'm not a Christian, but we still have Christmas and stuff like that. So it gets kind of touchy. My kids are pretty young still too. So, but I guess at some point, were you planning on like giving them some guidelines in terms of what you believe, or just kind of seeing what they end up believing in?
Oh yeah. I didn't want to necessarily give the impression that we're just like not giving them any direction whatsoever, nothing like that. We still teach them some, you know, the basic morals and principles, you know, the basics that everybody should know. Yeah. Hey, treat others the way you want to be treated, you know, be polite. Here's some manners. Here's some basic ways you need to interact in society. You know, don't kill people. That's probably bad.
Right. Curveball.
Don't rape people. Don't do that. That's not great. You know, it's not really the best way to, you know, marry someone or find somebody that's interested in you.
Right.
It's just, we still teach the basics and try to approach it from the most logical standpoint as we can. So probably one of the most interesting things that I've found is a few years ago, we stopped doing the parenting that me and my wife were raised on, where spanking, hitting, yelling, those things were kind of the norm. And from the past few years of not being abusive to our kids or hitting them in any sort, and actually reasoning with them and talking with them and coming to agreements and negotiating and things like that, our relationship has gotten like exponentially stronger. Like it's night and day, the difference that I see between how my kids were and how they are now, how my kids are now versus how other children that come over to the house are. I mean,
terrible parents, eh?
Well, it does kind of sadden me. I've seen a few kids that'll come over and visit, and if I start talking to them, and you can tell they're like thirsty, like starved for any kind of attention. Like, oh my God, somebody's actually acknowledging my fucking existence. They see me. He wants to talk to me. And then they'll talk my ear off for the next 30 minutes. Like, oh, wow. That's awesome. But it makes me a little sad though, that other kids aren't getting that kind of relationship with their parents that I have with my kids.
And that you had with your parents.
Right. Minus the hitting, of course. I can't remember how many times I've had soap scraped across my teeth or a leather belt across my ass or some kind of, you know, ping pong paddle broken. It was
why were you so
mess,
bad?
Come again?
Why were you so bad though?
Why was I so bad? Yeah, it's all my fault. I was a terrible child.
That actually is a good question. What was one of the worst things you did as a little brat?
It's a little brat.
Wow.
I honestly, I don't really remember. I know I did a lot of getting into the food that I wasn't supposed to get into. You know, I'd go sneak some ice cream or something, you know, just little violations of the rules. It seemed like there was always an infinite amount of them for some reason at some points in time.
Isn't it strange? It's funny how you can remember so vividly all of the individual punishments, but you can't seem to remember what it was that you did to cause those kind of punishments.
Excellent point. I was just, you know, as soon as you said that, I was sitting there thinking, yeah, I remember one time specifically that I'm getting to maybe 13 or 14 years old. I'm starting to grow up.
Yep.
And I remember being humiliatingly bent over, grabbing my ankles as my mom is wailing on my ass with a leather belt. And I'm like doing my best not to cry, because I'm just like, you know, no, I'm going to stay strong. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to react. And the next thing I know, she suddenly gained the strength of 10 men. I'm like, whoa. And I stand up, grabbing my ass, and I turn around and notice that my dad had snuck in right from her without even missing a beat. And he just kept going. I was like, what the? Oh my God. I remember that. I, you know, if you sat there and had a gun to my head, I could not tell you what I was even in trouble for.
Oh my God.
That should be a clear sign that that doesn't really do anything for the kids.
No.
I like the marathon. I like the marathon hand. Off with the baton.
Relay,
like,
the relay.
Yeah, exactly. Quick, get in here, husband.
Yeah, I love
it. Is the aunt in the house? Yeah, no, come in here. My hand's getting tired.
But the timing, the fact of the timing, you didn't even notice the switch. That's impressive.
It was so smooth. I don't know how the hell. I had no idea my dad was secretly a ninja. Like, I didn't know.
He could sense.
I know now he teaches me in his wise ways, but
he could sense his wife's arm getting tired from across the house, and he snuck in there. With the quickness.
That's what happens when you leave the sprinkler on. I mean, that's bound to happen. So we just put Daniel on the spot asking him what was one of the worst things he did as a little kid. So now I'm going to flip it back on you guys. So I'm going to start with you, Guy.
Oh, what is the worst thing that I've done as a kid?
That deserved a good whooping.
Oh, geez. You know what? The worst things I did, I didn't get a whooping for.
Now he's bragging.
No. I'm just
never
I'm just,
got caught.
No, you know what? I got spanked once though, that I can remember that I'm willing to talk about. Coming out of the bathroom, I was taking a bath, and
taking
I was like, what, 3, 4, maybe 5, probably 5.
It's okay. All right, you're trying to make me believe that the worst thing you did, you were like 3 years.
Oh, old. No, I'm telling you, I've done worse things. It's just that I didn't get spanked for those things. I was much older, and they, you know, I'm saying actual youth spanking. It's probably like 5 years old or something. It's playing in the bathtub, and I managed to get all of the water out of the bathtub and onto the floor. And then I guess the water had kind of made its way out of the bathroom and soak up the carpet outside of the bathroom. And I had gotten out of the tub. I made it out of the tub, and I thought everything was great. I had a great bath. I felt wonderful. And right. And I had stepped outside of the washroom, and my dad was waiting there for me, and he's like, well, what's going on? I'm like, I took a bath. He's like, all of the water is outside of the thing. And I was like, yeah, it is. He's like, well, who's going to clean that up? I'm like, I don't know. You should probably clean it up then. I'm going to dry off. I didn't make it back to the bedroom. My bedroom did not make it back. I got spanked. And that was the day that I realized that there's no worse feeling than being slapped on wet bear skin. Not bear skin, but wet bear skin. That's like stung
bear
in my
ass.
Right?
Wet
it was
bear ass.
Oh, it was
you
terrible.
Were bassing it, man.
It was terrible. And the worst part about it was I ended up throwing up after the spanking because it was a different type.
So you had two things to clean up.
Yeah, no, I threw up. So then they cleaned up the vomit, but I had to take another bath because I had vomited on myself. And
do you have pictures of this event?
See,
we'll post them to our Instagram.
Yeah, no, my bottom line is it's funny. I do remember I do remember that event, but I wonder if it's only because of the throwing up part of it and having to get another bath that it's the whole instance is vivid in my mind. I couldn't tell you other reasons why I got spanked.
But you were already naked as well, right? Maybe your bare ass was just so spankable.
You this is basically
going,
your own
this
fault.
Is going wrong.
You're making it weird right now. You're talking about a,
he said bottom line.
Right? Yeah, no, we're gonna.
That was pretty good.
Oh, what is this conversation? Does it need a condom? Is it getting too left field for you?
Wow. Okay.
That was a nice one. A good pun.
Yeah, let's move on.
All right, Stu, what about you here?
Well, the worst thing I ever did as a child, I didn't actually get caught doing it. I confessed to it much later.
Humble brag. He's too smart. Mm-hmm.
But it was Christmas time, and there was some mandarin oranges in the house. There was also a pin cushion for some reason set up right by the fruit bowl. And I remember I took a pin and I put it into an orange. I put it into an orange. And then it went too far in and I couldn't pull it out. And I was pretty young. I could have obviously just thrown the orange out.
You were 19.
Yeah, I was pretty young. But anyway, so my mom found it. She found the needle in there.
You said 19?
But she didn't eat it. But then she took it back to the store and like gave them shit about it. And I just confessed to that like a few years ago.
And that's what
I was so scared of the trouble.
And you know what? And over time, it turned into the urban legend about razor blades and apples on Halloween.
Yeah, I started that.
That's where you invented that. There you go. Humble brag too. So, Daniel, you and your relationship with your kids, you're saying it's gotten a lot better since you've started communicating with your kids. How old are your kids?
My kids are 11, 13, 14, and 16.
Okay, so they're at that age where they can really, it's doing the math in his head. They're at that age where they can reason with you back. Do you ever, are they also at that age where not only are they reasoning, but they're trying to like beat you mentally with their logic? Is it at that, have you had any of those instances yet where you're just trying
absolutely.
To break it down?
Absolutely. There's been a number of times that they'll use my own arguments against me and I have to back down. I mean, they're really smart and they're catching on and they're learning how to do this. And it's pretty impressive. A little embarrassing when they catch me on my own shit, but yeah, it happens.
So Daniel, word on the street is you've got a sex contract.
Wow. Just drops it.
Wow, that was a hell of a transition there.
So, Daniel, you have a sex contract. Let's go.
We're talking about having four kids, so I mean, we've got to get some kind of sex talk in here.
I would like to point out that I have been a father of four since I was 24 years old.
And just like that, Belle, I saw when you were talking about the ages of your kids, Belle's eyes rolled up into looking towards the ceiling, trying to do the math, thinking about how old that would have been. So you have that answer now. I'm pulling up the sex contract, though.
All right.
You had sent that over, and I was not supposed to look at it until, because I wanted it to be read live, but I'm going to pass my phone over to Stu, who has not seen any of this.
Okay.
And I want Stu, with his fresh eyes, to read it into the microphone. And also, I just want to get his impressions. So go ahead, Stu.
Okay, this is a consensual sex contract.
Wait, what are you laughing about? This is serious business, dude. I mean, this is super serious. Like, people need these things today.
Super serious. Oh, like, did you say
you cannot get your you can't get your pee-pee wet unless you have this.
Damn. Okay, I'm gonna just be quiet.
Do you want me to read this entire thing?
Yeah, read it.
Okay.
Well, maybe leave out a few punchlines so people can have a reason to go get it.
Yeah. This contract is valid for the period of time between filling the dates. Party one and party two hereby declare under penalty of perjury that we are over the age of 18 years old and are of sound mind. By initiating, both parties agree to engage in all or some of the following acts. Check boxes and initial all which apply. And there is a fairly comprehensive list of sexual acts.
What are some of the acts that might be on the list?
Well, I mean, there's pretty innocent things like knee touching and hand holding. It goes to, there's things like nasal penetration.
Jeez.
Which, yeah, I mean, that there is consent for sure. Absolutely. I would want a contract.
What else you got in there?
I got golden showers.
Oh, jeez.
I have
multiple showers.
Showers, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have oral penetration. Penile penetration.
Oh, geez.
That's the whole thumbtack that you were talking about earlier that you put in the orange.
Okay.
Keep going.
Yeah, so again, just a litany of sexual acts. But they're not all sexual, right? Like undressing with the eyes. Yeah.
I like that one. I really like that one.
You know, and well, we'll let them go pick it up.
We'll pick it up.
Yeah, we'll
look. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, if I don't have a written contract with somebody and I catch them undressing me with their eyes, I will probably take them to court. I mean, that I feel incredibly violated.
Prosecute them to the full extent of the law,
especially if you have one of those spankable asses. You know. I mean, that
well, I mean, terrible. I do. Yeah. I just don't wear the pants to accentuate it. So just trying to protect myself.
You got toe sucking, some foot rubbing on there.
Are there shockers on there? Is there any shockers?
No.
Two in the pink, one in the
No. Stick. Spooning. You need a contract for spooning. There you go.
So, Daniel, once again, I'm going to ask the hard-hitting question. Why?
Why? What?
Why the contract? Where did this come from? What's it about? What's the idea behind it?
Look, when I create some of my pieces of work, if you will, I like to. Okay, a lot of stuff I hear is completely ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. Like some of the political correctness has gotten so far outside the realm of anything that makes any logical sense that it's just fun to make fun of. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what this is. Like I want to make fun of this particular thing that's kind of showed up in our society. And just see what we can do with it.
Well, and it's good satire because it is something you could absolutely see existing, or being handed out on university
like Frosh Week
exactly.
Oh, you change one or two lines in that contract, and that thing is it's pretty it's comprehensive protection for both parties. You know, it looks it's a joke. It's funny, and I think that people should definitely read it, get a good chuckle out of it. But at the same time, as we were talking even before the podcast got started, it does have some merit to it. Do you see, and I'd asked you this before off the show, but I ask it again, do you see a point in time, maybe possibly in the near future, where maybe not to this extent, but there's some type of something that people need to, you know, engage in filling out or completing before, you know, two strangers get together like that?
I'll tell you what, something I've noticed here lately is that have you guys heard of the MGTOW movement?
No.
It's MGTOW. It stands for Men Going Their Own Way. And it seems to be gaining a lot of steam, especially over the last decade or two, I would say. And what this is it's men that are choosing to kind of opt out of the whole like sexual thing. They're just, you know, I'm not going to get with a woman. I'm not going to marry her. I'm not messing. It's too risky. Wow. It's just too risky to do it because I mean, think about it. What happens is, you meet a girl, you guys are at a bar drinking, having a good time or a party or whatever. Both of you are a little tipsy and you end up going back to his place or whatever. And you end up making out. Well, 6 months later, she feels like she regrets what happened and now wants to press charges and accuse you of sexual assault. Meanwhile, hell, you both were drunk. Like somehow it's her word against yours. There's no possible way of proving that in the court of law, but the court of law will tend to side with the woman in this case, which is completely unfair and unsubstantiated. And then what ends up happening is you've got these men whose, you know, careers, their reputation has been destroyed because of an accusation, you know, and this is not an uncommon event. And you even got situations where the woman will later on admit, yeah, I just made it up. I was feeling, you know, bad about it, or I was just angry at him because he broke up with me or whatever the case may be. And there's no penalty for that. So it takes away any incentive to, you know, not do that. And it's become real scary in the court systems as far as when in divorce courts and family courts and whatnot, where if you get divorced, the guy is getting screwed 9 times out of 10. And from what I understand, if I remember my statistics correctly, the vast majority of the time that the men end up getting the children in a custody battle, it's because the wife didn't even show up for court.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, yeah, there is a lot behind this. This isn't just out of the blue. I felt like it was funny. Yeah, obviously there's some humor in it, but I do want people to kind of think about this stuff, too, how ridiculous this has gotten. Mm-hmm. That makes sense?
No, it makes a lot of sense.
So, that's why they're selling, a lot of sex robots and stuff probably now.
Oh, absolutely. That's probably one of the number one driving factors for this new industry and why people are willing to put so much work into making them look hyper realistic. I mean, some of these things, I was damn near fooled. They look like Instagram photos of some of your hottest models. It's ridiculous.
I'm actually shocked at just the last 10 seconds of conversation. I felt there was probably 3 or 4 points where I wanted to burst out laughing hysterically, and then I kept being drawn back to the fact that this is an actual real conversation that exists nowadays in 2018. Do you think that it's going to get worse, or do you think we've kind of hit rock bottom with this and we're going to start going back the other way, or do you think that it's going to keep getting worse?
I thought about a decade ago that this couldn't possibly get any worse. You know, oh my God, they're attacking Christmas. We can't say Christmas anymore. What the fuck, man? This doesn't make any sense. It just continues to get worse and worse and worse until people are offended by everything. And then if you say anything that offends somebody, now all of a sudden they're working on shutting you down and passing laws against hate speech, which, I mean, as far as I can tell, hate speech, there's no such thing as hate speech. I don't even know how do you define that? And then if you do define it, who gets to control that? Who gets to push the buttons of the state to, choose who gets punished and who gets to be saved?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It does seem like the pendulum is swinging the opposite way. Is it because we were in a state so far back that a lot of things went unchecked, unpunished, unrecognized, and now we're overcompensating? There has to be a sweet spot, but is it a bad transition to go through this period in order to get back?
Man, there might be a pendulum swinging back and trying to correct for years of past harms and whatnot. But I just don't see any use in it, because if we continue to head down this road and never start swinging back toward normalcy, if you will, I can foresee some pretty terrible things happening, especially when you start trying to limit people's speech and limit what they can and can't say or talk about, just because somebody might be offended, God forbid.
Net neutrality. How do you feel about this?
That's an interesting one. That one took me for a loop. I still don't know 100% how I feel about it, but what I do know is anything the government says it is, you can pretty much bet your ass it's the exact opposite. So if I'm the government and I pass a law that's called net neutrality, you can bet it's anything but neutral. Mm-hmm. You got the war against poverty. Well, poverty rates have gone up since that started. You got the war against drugs. Guess what? We've got more drugs in this country now, including Big Pharma sitting there pushing all their drugs on everybody than we ever had before. Every single time the government puts out a program, you get the exact opposite of their intended stated goal. Mm-hmm. I truly believe net neutrality is one of those things. Now, when it comes to the legal vomit, if you will, I have no idea what the hell any of this means and what the implications are, but I am for letting the free market do what it's going to do. I mean, if Netflix chooses to throttle speeds for some or whatever company chooses to throttle speeds in favor of other companies and whatnot, that just leaves it open for other companies to come in and say, all right, cool. Y'all want to do that? Customers are pissed off about it. Now there's a market for a company that's not going to do that. And we'll be the guys to fill that spot. We'll be the guys to make sure that everything's equal, because that's what people want. And the people that want the super fast Netflix and want to go over here to this other company, they're more than welcome to do that. It doesn't take any force or any government regulation to do that. That's my loose understanding of what the net neutrality actually is. That's just my general principle on any kind of government regulation, as an anarchist, that is.
Uh-huh. And so do you... Like I'm with you on a lot of those things. Do you think that there's anything that the government does do a good job of? Is there any role that you think that they do excel at, or do you think it's just they anything they do, they're not the people that should be doing it?
Well, again, just the same way I do my parenting, and the same way I follow religion or I practice that stuff, I like to boil it down to basic principles. Mm-hmm. And one of the basic core tenets for me is that you don't steal from people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys agree to that. Stealing's wrong. I mean, yeah. I don't think that's too crazy of a thing to say.
You're lucky B's not here tonight, man. That guy's a klepto.
Well, all right. So stealing's wrong. I think we all agree on that.
Yes.
Now, interestingly enough, I had it pointed out to me that if you look at the definition of theft and then you put it right up next to the definition of taxation, the only difference is legality. Mm. And last time I checked, being legal does not make it correct or right. Yep. Because if that were the case, slavery was once the law.
Damn. Well, yeah, I'm very anti slavery in all of its forms.
I'll take a harder stance.
You know, yeah.
Well, so that being said, to more fully answer your question is that regardless of whether the end result of what the government does ends up being good or ends up being a public benefit, mm-hmm. it still starts from a basic. It starts by breaking a basic principle of stealing from people to fulfill those goals.
Yep. Okay.
So I'm against it. Like, I mean, it just from a basic principle standpoint, it doesn't take that long for me to think through these things because I just go back to my basics and start from there. You know, that's it. I mean, it's really that simple.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. So the question is kind of beside the point. It doesn't really matter what they're doing with the money. You feel it's not their money to do anything with. That makes sense.
Right. Right.
Fair. Go ahead.
So, Daniel, I mean, you say that you have a lot of strong opinions and just things that are outside of the box, right? That you don't normally
get. I don't have any. I don't have any of those. No.
So what's the feedback been like for you? Like since you started doing your podcast and having your show in the blog, what kind of feedback have you gotten?
Gosh, it's been all sorts of mixed reviews. I've had a lot of people very supportive of me. I've had a few people coming to my thinking a little bit closer, maybe not quite to the point of anarchy, but to the point of actually stopping, which let me tell you guys this. It's my number one goal to make sure that, hey, at least think about this stuff. You know, you may not think anarchy is the best way, but at least think of it maybe as an option and consider what that might look like. That's all I'm asking. That's literally all I'm asking is just, you know, break outside of your ideas for long enough to think what would some alternatives look like? Because obviously what we're doing is not fucking working right now.
Fair question. Anarchy. You're kind of opposed to government. Do you kind of, are you maybe, no, I'm sorry, maybe boiled it down.
Just say kind of opposed.
Sorry. You are 100%.
Yeah, I'm kind of lukewarm to it, you know?
Okay, so you know government. Do you like the whole kind of free market enterprise idea of everything, like the economy? Just as long as there's jobs, everything will balance itself out. And we is that kind of like the view? We get rid of government and we can all just kind of, like, do we have cops in this?
I mean, you could. Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm not against, I know. Okay. So what I'm running into lately is I'm getting into a lot of, anarchist discussion boards and things like that. And that is a hugely divided community. Like, what in the world, guys? Like, it's not that difficult. Like if you go back to the original definition of what anarchy means, it literally translates to, without rulers. That's it. Mm-hmm. Anything else is just you adding shit to it. Like, I just don't want somebody ruling over me, telling me how to live my life and coercing me into doing what they want me to do. It's like,
see, I wonder what the moderators of these anarchist forums do. I mean, is it the moderator's job to kind of dictate how everything's going. So like, by being an anarchist, don't you have to not listen to?
Yeah, there's no moderators on the anarchist
board. Yeah, no moderator. Actually, they're all moderators. True to, you know, they've got this. I don't know what has happened, and I need to do. I need to do a video about this. I don't know what has happened, but the idea of anarchy has somehow got the word no hierarchy attached to it as well. And that is a new thing that I went back and looked at my mom's dictionary from back in like 60 or 70. I got to check the copyright date again. But the word hierarchy doesn't start appearing in dictionary definitions until the last couple decades or so, which is very strange to me. I don't know where that came from or why all of a sudden it's part of it. But everybody swears by it. They'll just go Google it, dude. It says it right there. Well, you know, fuck off. Google's not the most unbiased search engine. If you haven't noticed lately, with James Damore getting fired for pointing out basic facts about sex and, you know, in the workplace. I don't know if you guys are aware of that situation.
Yeah, I've seen some of that.
I'm going to Google that right.
and I mean, who would impose this destruction of hierarchy if there was no, like, how would you even achieve that without somebody doing that artificially?
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You have this whole sect in there called the anarcho-communists. I'm like, a communist is like the ultimate state control. Like, we control every little detail of the market.
Opposite like, ends of the spectrum.
You can't do that without a government.
You know what? I've been thinking about the you know, at the end of the day, the problem with all the anarchists is that nobody listens to each other. It's a bad joke, but I mean,
it
was a bad joke, but you think about it, and I've had friends who've talked to me about anarchy and everything. And I mean, essentially anarchy, and from what I understand, the only way that, well, anarchy can never actually happen because that really requires a bunch of people to work together and kind of make a big plan to
voluntarily.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
that's the key thing for me. And I don't care what you call it. If you want to call it anarchy, whatever. But, you know, I know some people have been calling it voluntarism, which is kind of a rebranding of it. But regardless of what you call it, I that's why I hate labels, because everybody wants to get caught up in the minutiae of what the damn label means exactly. And I'm just a big fan of the basic principle of, hey, don't steal, you know, don't initiate force. I don't know if you've heard of the non-aggression principle. It just basically says it's immoral to initiate force on anyone. You know, let's have voluntary exchange versus involuntary exchange. That's basically the core principles that I look forward to trying to get the world to move toward, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Daniel, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back. I'm going to ask you a series of questions here. So what we do around Thirst World is we do a thing called the gauntlet, where I'm just going to ask you a bunch of rapid fire questions and then just give you a chance to answer them just off the top of your head. First thing that pops in there, and we'll try to go through most of them here.
All right.
This is Bell, folks. And what you just heard was the first part of our interview with Daniel Wagner from the Unframe of Mind show. What we're going to be doing is releasing part two tomorrow. So you're going to be able to hear Daniel go through the gauntlet, as well as hear some of the extended audio that we heard, give you kind of a behind the mics scene of things. Okay. So that's going to be coming directly as an extra download. As for all of our subscribers, that's going to go right into your podcast stream. So you'll be good. You're all hooked up already. So thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you, well, tomorrow. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems Podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram @ThirstWorldPod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.